Hello, everyone, and welcome to the best and worst of Walt Disney World. I am your host, Rhino Clavin, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the best and worst that the newest addition to Disney's Hollywood Studios has to offer, and that would be Toy Story Land. To join me for this discussion, I've got Charles Boda.
Hey, folks.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
And Craig Williams.
Ahoy.
So we have experienced this area in different ways, different aspects. I went to an advanced preview. Steve, you, what'd you do?
I went to the media day.
The whole thing? The whole Thursday. Thing?
No,
with Craig the whole
I got
time,
in at 2 o'clock, so I didn't have the pass that Craig had, but I did get in at 2 o'clock.
Okay, and Craig, you're...
Well, I'm just going to also point out that Steve went for a very unique way in that he did show up for the grand opening late in the morning. However, he dealt with the issues that come along with showing up to a brand new land on opening day.
Yes, so. I waited for 3 hours to get into Toy Story Land on the grand opening, which was an interesting experience.
Well, and then we have Charles. Your experience is, nothing.
Yeah, I did not go to any of the media events, and I didn't make it there for opening day. So I am going to be attacking this best and worst episode from the episode or from the perspective of the viewer.
The questions.
Yes, I'm actually really looking forward to hearing some of the details and opinions on it.
So. Excellent.
And I do think just we should state it right off the bat. As you have noticed, we are four adult men in our 20s and 30s. And yes, we don't have kids. This opinion is from our perspective. We're not telling parents out there with children how they should feel about it. We're telling you how we feel about it. And I can say strongly for all of us, except for Charles, I know that myself, Rhino, and Steve grew up on Toy Story. Mm-hmm. It was an important part of our childhoods.
Sure.
So that means a lot. That carries a lot of weight. I think in a way we feel more of an ownership over Toy Story than any kid that's just experiencing it for the first time now.
Well, I remember seeing it in the movie theater still.
Me too.
Like I remember like that and Jumanji, like back to back, essentially. It was a big year. It was a big time for movies in my life.
Big year.
Yeah.
Can't wait till the Jumanji land opens.
Well, just fingers crossed, you know? We're going to be talking about several things. We're talking about the two new attractions, the Slinky Dog Dash, Alien Swirling Saucers. We're going to be talking about food, which comes from Woody's Lunchbox. And then we're talking about the theming and the merchandise. And then we'll break those into what we think are the best and worst aspects of that. And my phone made a noise for some reason, so I apologize. But so what do you guys say? I'm going to start with Slinky Dog Dash. Okay? You want me to just go into how we feel about it, and then you'll pop in with your question, Charles?
Open big. Well, yeah. I mean, like, my questions basically are, I know a little bit about what people have compared it to. Hopefully, it's got its own unique spin and individual charm. I really like Disney's, you know, I don't want to say kiddie coaster or anything like that, but I like some of their low-key, less scary drops, but like...
Pop in right here with that. Okay, so the Slinky Dog Dash is a family coaster, is what it's described as. I will right away say the first time I rode this, I was like, it teeters on that line. Like, when I think of a family coaster, I guess I think of like Barnstormer. And this is more on the level of like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and I would argue that I like this one better than that. But so let's throw it in around everybody first. Where would you put this, best or worst? For me, best.
For me as well, it's definitely a best. We can go into details.
Yep. And for me too, it's one of the best aspects of Toy Story Land.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's kind of a no question about it. We all have so we say it's the best. However, I think maybe all of us, I had this discussion with Craig. I'm not 100% sure about you, Steve, but we all have aspects about it that we're a little disappointed in, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that would be that, you know, we've been looking at this concept art for Toy Story Land since, was it D23 in like 2015? Was it 2017?
It's been years though. I remember at least, I want to say it was 20.
I thought it was earlier.
At least 2016, I think, where that was the first time I saw on ride footage of Slinky Dog Dash. It was at a media like preview of what's to come. So I know I can remember that from 2016, but beyond that, I don't remember.
Wasn't it announced at D23 2015? 2015.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because D23 was last summer, and it took more than a year to build this.
It was the D23 before that, right?
I don't think it was. I think it was Star Wars and this were announced at the same time, and the big surprise was how little amount of time it was going to take to build this. It might have just been that D23 was where they released the concept art and things. But regardless, some of the disappointment comes in with the Slinky Dog Dash, specifically with that concept art. It's a little bit shorter than it was advertised as. One of the big things for me was, you know, when you go to board this attraction, there's the sketch that Andy's done of this, and like Craig and I were looking at this, and there's a big, you know, evil Dr. Porkchop is missing from it. There's this whole Green Army Men part that's not included in it, and stuff like that. And my thing is like, I really enjoy the track and how the attraction moves. You know, I think it goes up like to really awesome heights, you know, but it feels kind of underutilized. Like, it doesn't go through any tunnels. It doesn't do any of this stuff. It's very under. I feel like you're very exposed to the nature, you know. So it's, you know, rain, sun, whatever is out there. But I feel like it's a little. It feels both cool and lazy a little bit at the same time.
So I agree, and I think that they could have done a lot more. They could have done a lot more with theming, and I think that there could have been like more characters, like you were saying. There's also supposed to be like a Green Army little section of the ride. That being said, to play devil's advocate, as much as I agree, I would say you are going fast enough that you can't observe the theming, like you can't be staring at the theming while you're actually on the ride. I would argue, though, that you are right that once you're off the ride looking at the coaster, that there should be those things.
I disagree to a point, too, though. It's all sight lines. The theming that did stay, stuff like Jesse and Rex
yeah.
up on their tower there, that's not like a thing that you're going too fast. You can't see it. You can on the first launch when you're looking off to the side. It's just that they weren't placed in the correct sight line for you to actually be able to see it.
They were almost placed so that when you walk into the land, it's more impressive, yes, but not for when you're actually on the ride.
And my disappointment kind of comes with, it feels a little lifeless in that aspect where, like, I love seeing Slinky Dog, I love what the coaster looks like. Like, I love that you're in a Slinky Dog, and I love how it has the loops that kind of get it going, and if you listen, you can hear the sound of the Slinky and stuff. And that's probably the thing that is most alive in Toy Story Land. The rest are like the toys are just plopped down plastic figurines that they're not moving, they're not doing anything except for the one Wheezy when you're going exiting the ride that's saying to you the you've got a friend in me. But so I'll say that is kind of disappointing to me. Even if Rex just kind of moved his head side to side or moved to his arms or something just a little bit, I would have liked a little bit more life to the land.
Okay, so I have one question I've been wondering about based on what you guys have said. Is since you don't go through any tunnels and the environment is pretty much open air and everything like mm-hmm. that, how would you rate the immersion aspect? Not the theming, but like the immersion.
Well, Craig, do you want to talk about that one?
I believe he means the immersion still. Do you mean of the entire land or Slinky Dog itself? Because we're still on Slinky.
Yeah, Slinky Dog.
No, not immersive. There are points. The queue, I feel like, is very immersive. The big issue, the glaring issue, is once you get on the attraction, the first part of it, you still feel pretty locked tight in the land. The next part of the attraction, though, featuring the Go, Go, Go launch, that is where it all just opens up into a mess of not immersing you in the land, because you look straight out at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and right now all the construction for it. And as you loop back around, you have a beautiful view of Tower of Terror just towering up in front of you. So in terms of feeling like, oh, while I'm riding this, do I still feel like I'm completely in this land and only here?
Like I am a toy.
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't. It's and you know what? It's impossible to really do that with sight lines in a roller coaster unless it would have been inside. And Hollywood Studios, as much as I wish this was inside so that way it didn't go down every time. Yeah. We have thunderstorms in the area. I do appreciate that they're bringing to life outdoor attractions because it is nice to have outdoor attractions too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that way you get the daytime ride aspect versus the nighttime, because they're two complete different experiences doing it in the day versus the night.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to experience it at night yet, but seeing your videos that you put up and the videos that were on the like Disney Parks blog, like the lights with the launch and kind of just like I like the theme parks at night myself, just because I feel like they do take on a new character. But
I think at night too, with the lights that run the course of the track, it just adds an entirely different element. When me and Craig went on it, during the media day, we went on a couple times during the day and we enjoyed it, but I think we both can agree, I guess I'm speaking for you, but we both enjoyed it way more on that last run at night, because you know, the light, the atmosphere, we even the fireworks happened to be going off when we were up there.
Cool. Yeah.
I did it with Kylie at dusk, and I thought that was actually a really good time to ride it too, because you did then get the best of both worlds. You got you did get to see the nighttime lighting effects all around the area, and not as vibrant as when it's at night, but you could still tell what was happening with the effects. Mm-hmm. But then you also could still see some of the details hidden around the ride track area that might be a little bit blocked at night that you could see perfectly during the day. So there are multiple different ways to truly experience this attraction, and that's a good thing.
And I will say, the things that it does right, I feel like it does them well. So it's just, it feels like there's some missed opportunities. That's all, you know. And again, this is probably the, you know, budget cut or something. I don't know. We'll never know, you know, assuming it's budget. But did you have any more questions about Slinky Dog before we move to the alien swirling saucers?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. Other than, like, just really quickly, is there anything you would have changed? Just a glaring thing?
Not necessarily that I would have changed, because I like the lap bars, or those nicer kind that kind of glide down into you, and they're a little bit softer. And the bar that's makes up Slinky's back, like that's actually a soft foam over that too. So there's also something to be said about going into a brand new roller coaster and knowing, like, smelling the brand new seat, and it doesn't smell like disgusting people yet, like. I don't know. I really enjoyed that aspect. I'll tell you, there's some Easter eggs to look for in there, too. There, when you're in Slinky, my favorite thing was there's a big giant Rex box on the left, and the price sticker on it is $19.95, and then there's two numbers in it, and it's like 11/22. It's whatever the date of Toy Story was released came out, and that's one of my... I liked that attention to detail, but I agree. Like, I feel like halfway through the ride, or kind of actually as soon as you launch out, it's like that attention to detail kind of went the wayside. Like, the queue is great, like Craig said, because you're going through all these boxes. And for those of you who don't know, the theming of the entire land is supposed to be that we're in Andy's backyard, and he is playing, like, he has created this coaster. He has gotten this alien swirling saucer set from Pizza Planet, and it's his lunchbox. So it's all him supposed to be playing in the backyard.
I will chime in with mine. Yeah. I would change a good amount of things about it. I mean, I'm not going to say, like, oh, I do wish it was a little bit more intense. As an adult, yes, I do. To me, I know other people will continue using, oh, it's a family ride. For me, it still is a kiddie coaster. But it's a great first coaster, because something like Barnstormer, that's on the, you know, that's one step above what you would see on the roller coasters put together for like Carnivals. A state fair and carnival.
Yeah, right.
Whereas this feels like a perfect first coaster for a child who's getting ready to overcome their fear of maybe heights or roller coasters
heights,
in general.
There were parts where I was like, this is high up.
So yeah, as an adult, I do wish we could have been on a very thrilling ride, but for what it's meant for, it nailed it on the head there. For me, length is a big issue. I feel like it's way too short, and I'm sticking by that. So if I'd be okay with the length of it, if they would have added in elements like tunnels or extra theming around, but because those were nixed out of the plans, that takes away from the overall experience for me.
I think one of the coolest parts is that second launch where, and like Slinky's talking to you and you're going to launch, and it feels like there should have been more of that. like with what you're saying about it being like,
and my one final part is, when time will tell on this, because Mine Train has remained a pretty smooth experience the way through, but I can already say, based on the different rows that I've ridden in and my first rides on it compared to the last rides, I could tell the more it's running, the more that track is starting to wear down. It's a brand new coaster. It's smooth, but it's not going to maintain that smoothness forever. Mm-hmm. Like Mine Train, I think it's the swaying that really helps to detract from that. But especially when you're going over those last humps at the end, I feel like eventually once the track gets worn in, that's going to be very, very back and forth violent. Yeah. That's just my opinion on it. I could be wrong. Disney could work to keep it maintained so it's always perfect.
Well,
but
yeah.
That requires track replacements. And
you already see the paint wearing off of the track, too. On my preview, you could see it. And that goes to show you that like something's rubbing along that bar or something, already.
So it's natural, and it's all tracks where it, like, think about our... that's why Disneyland has replaced Big Thunder Mountain at points, Space Mountain. Mm-hmm. At some point, it needs to happen. And I hope it's not with this like a sooner than later thing. But we'll have to see. Time will tell.
Steve, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I mean, I the last time I went on it was still pretty smooth, but that was still at the media day, so I can't speak to it as it is now. What I would add...
Well, we should note the media day was Friday.
Yeah,
and the place opened Sunday, or 2 days later, or whatever.
As for what I would add, I mean, I agree with both of you. I think those adding, more tunnels and elements would be really neat. But I'm not going to harp on those as much, because I ended up enjoying the coaster more than I thought I was going to. So while I wish we had those things, I'm not as disappointed with them after riding the coaster as I was before.
I enjoyed riding the coaster more than I thought. And to not necessarily go against what Craig is saying, yes, I always enjoy a longer roller coaster. However, with how much they had kind of said it, or it appeared to be getting shorter, it was still a little longer than I expected, I guess. But that could be because you literally come to a complete stop halfway through the ride to launch again. So that's just that. Well, let's move over to the alien swirling saucers. I don't know. Craig, why don't you tell me about it a little bit? Because you and Kylie got to do it as well, yeah?
Yeah, I would categorize this as one of the best aspects of Toy Story Land. It's, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, it is a whip style attraction. Yes, it is an off the shelf style attraction, but it is themed to the green alien men from all the Toy Story movies that we know and love, with the claw. And basically you're just whipping around the track, not a set track. It is a set track, but it's circular and you just keep weaving in and out whipping along the way.
Like not Disney's teacups, but where I was from in Massachusetts, there was a theme park called Canopy Lake Park, and they had a teacup attraction that was a whip attraction like this. So it was multiple circles that you move in and out of that causes the whip when it spins.
Yeah.
And so it's like that. So when people are thinking about it like, oh, well, I get nauseous on the teacups, you're not actually moving in the vehicle. Never moves 360 degrees. Yeah. It's the larger circle you're on that takes a bigger 360 degrees. Yeah. And it's, similar to Mater's Junkyard Jamboree out in Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. But
it is the same exact.
Yeah, it's a redress.
Yeah, I should say, yeah. So I would put it on in the best as well. And this is specifically because of how Craig described it in the beginning, is that it's not an attraction for me. Like, I don't need to ever do this again. I did it to do it. But, if I'm there with a child who is 32 inches or taller and they want to do it, it's great, because the coaster has a higher height than that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 40, I think, right?
Or 38 or something like 38, 36. It is more, but I don't know.
Yeah, because my friend's daughter couldn't go on the coaster, but she could go on the green alien swirling saucer. So that's but it's, I think that especially at Hollywood Studios, this is a park that really had no real offerings for younger children, really, in forms of like something exciting or a ride. It was a lot of just like characters or shows. So I'm really not going to knock anything that's geared toward like a little kid, you know, that isn't the murderous Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground that was just like kids gashing their head open, climbing up slides the wrong way, stuff like that. But so I'll put in the best. What about you?
I'm also going to put in the best for the exact same reasons. I feel like I feel bad that it's kind of we're all agreeing on this. So it's not a difference in opinion. But
you don't have to feel bad. We're just being honest.
Yeah, no, that's just the truth is exactly what you said, is that it's not really meant for me. I'll go on this with my wife if she wants to go on it, and I'll go on with people that come for the first time if they want to try something they've never been on. But outside of that, I'm not going to be like lining up for this by myself on a park day.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like if it's a walk on and you're maybe like just there with your significant other.
And maybe if there comes to a point where, you know, 5 years from now, Star Wars Land is open and the hype of Toy Story Land starts to die down and this becomes a 20-minute wait or something, then maybe I would wait for that.
But I don't know about that. But I will say nothing. I'm going to say one thing, and then, Craig, I want you to say one thing. But I just lost my train of thought. Oh, I like Junkyard Jamboree better, because my reasoning here is that Mater is a character that is funny to listen to, and he speaks to you and sings the songs like Larry the Cable Guy sings the songs. And so I feel like there's a fun element of that that isn't necessarily present in Alien Swirling Sauces. However, there are 6 original songs in this attraction, but it does make it feel even more off the shelf as opposed to the Junkyard.
Not original. Jamboree. It is remixes of like you'll hear the Toy Story songs, but done in like an electronic remix. There might be like one or two of them that are original compositions.
Okay.
But like the one time I was on it, I was watching it. It was We Belong Together. The other time was When She Loved Me. So.
Maybe it was 6 new songs, then they told me, because that's what the cast member was saying. I might have new just in misunderstood. A way. But, well, so I also think there's a best time of day to experience this attraction as well. And I didn't really get to go on it, but again, judging from the video, Craig, you did do
it. Oh, yeah, no, nighttime is the better time to experience it, because it has all these lighting effects on the inside, makes it look like a disco rave, like really awesome with it. The one question I just want to pose real quick to both of you, because you said it's not meant for you. Are you talking about tastes or because of...
Oh, I just think personally, I mean, for me, like it's just not...
Okay.
It's not personally I'm not like, wow, it just didn't blow me away, but I'm not taking away from other young adults that could like it or
No. And I think anybody can go on this ride. I don't think you need a kid to go on this ride. That's not what I meant. I'm sorry. I meant that I think at its core, it was meant to be like, okay, let's really make a ride that is really for everybody. And so but I think I feel like geared toward younger kids because of its simplicity, maybe.
See, that's where I disagree on that. This is a carnival style attraction.
Yeah.
And for me, there's a lot of things like this are no age range. With something like Slinky Dog, with coasters, you can go from the smallest of small to the biggest over 400 feet going over 100 miles an hour. And so when you like compare the two, I think it's easier to say like, okay, something like Slinky Dog's for kids, whereas something like Everest is for bigger thrill seekers, whereas a carnival ride is just kind of a carnival ride. It's for everyone. Okay. So that's the only thing, like, I was confused when you're like, it's not for me, if it was more personal or if it was like, no, this is only for kids.
No,
I don't think carnival rides are only for kids. And a lot of like small, like you mentioned, small regional theme parks rely on these type of rides.
Yeah, but those are also not the type of rides I go to Disney World for. But that's me as an adult. I'm not saying if I had like kids, or maybe it is. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't ever go to anything other than this thing. So I'm just saying like it's not for me, but it is a ride for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal though. It's even Walt recognized this way back when, and that's why we have stuff like Dumbo.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because not everything can be completely innovative and beyond.
Not. Yeah.
And I think this is a perfect example of taking something simple and
dressing it up
with the Toy Story theme, and between the music, the lights, and then just the experience itself. you don't watch this attraction and see people on with like a sour face and just not just enjoy like, it. Everyone is smiling and laughing because inevitably you get the one big whip where you go around like 270 degrees and you just, unless you're by yourself, people are just plummeting into each other.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's impossible to not laugh and smile on that.
Yeah.
So
the only complaint that I really have about this ride, because it's supposed to be like the green alien claw themed attraction, I mean, we complained about this with some other things in Toy Story Land being like just statues. I wish the claw was an animatronic.
Was like moving and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like it doesn't need to come down and grab me, but
it was just doing a...
even if it was just moving a little bit.
Yeah.
Or going up, like
again,
a foot down and a foot up every once in a while.
I think that has to do with maybe them rushing or this, like, I don't know. Or maybe they just were like, we want something out there and they didn't think about it, you know? I do agree that it could have... The land as a whole, and that's where I would put some of this in the worst category of what we'll get to, could use a little more movement.
I think we'll get there in the theming part of this.
Well, you have a question? Speaking of which, I have a question about this attraction's theming.
Mm.
Right? All of the pictures that you guys were putting out while you're going through there that I looked at, the theme is naturally Pizza Planet centric, right?
Well, it's
no.
got...
To a certain degree. I know it's not set in Pizza Planet, but... It's an attraction that he won from Pizza Planet?
I guess it's supposed to be like a kit or something he got from it. Yeah.
So the thing is, you have the guards out front with the pizzas.
The Pizza Planet guards.
Yeah, and then so you have these nods to pizza. And while I was looking at the pictures for this attraction, I got hungry for pizza. And then I realized that if I were there, there is no Pizza Planet to go to after this attraction. And so, like, just looking at the pictures made me hungry for pizza. Do any of you think that the subconscious towards pizza and then the lack of follow-up pizza is a problem?
Well, in my life, always. But I actually did have this exact conversation with my friend because the hard part was there used to be a Pizza Planet in Hollywood Studios, and it's where Pizza RZA is, and it's not – it was lazy Pizza Planet. There has never been an actual – Pizza Planet that I've ever felt that was true to the experience that we saw Andy have in Toy Story. You know, it's very few glimpses, but you get a really solid idea of what Pizza Planet is like on the inside in those couple of minutes that he's in that scene in there. And I really do feel like that is a massive missed opportunity. I don't think there's one in any of the Disney parks, you know, that like really lives up to the true Pizza Planet. And it is my number one, like, if I could see something from the Toy Story universe that would come and be like done well, one of those for me is Pizza Planet. The other one is the other missing thing from Toy Story Land.
If they like wanted to expand and put a Pizza Planet restaurant in there, like kind of back behind Swirling Saucers, I would be all for it one day. It would just have to be done right, and that's not a quick service restaurant.
Exactly.
It would have to be a sit-down restaurant that... It felt almost like a Chuck E. Cheese, where you had the option to go play some games, but ultimately it's done in a sit down restaurant style table service. And I guess part of that issue then is when you have all these games there, but will the kids want to just constantly play those and not want to sit down with the parents? And that's why it works as
Dave
a quick
Buster's.
Service, but yeah, it's a little tough in a theme park environment to do it right. So I'd be cool with it in the future, but as of right now, I think it's better left not exploring that concept.
No, but it is an interesting, it is weird. Maybe they felt like they already did it, you know, and they were like, get it out of here. Well, that was good. No more questions on that. No more questions. Anybody to add anything about Alien Swirling Saucers? I didn't say that right at all. But anyway, I'm going to move on myself. So let's talk about, I didn't get to experience this, sadly, was Woody's Lunchbox. And this is actually the thing I think I'm actually looking forward to the most, because I've said many times, I really enjoy really themed dining events, you know, and even in quick service, they can have these little themes, like the whole idea is Andy's mom's packed this lunch and she's dropped a couple of her adult beverages in there for Andy to have an easier day in the backyard. But you experienced it the most, yeah, Craig?
Yes, I did, but okay. I don't think it's fair saying it in that way. It's more or less Andy built this setup and
for the toys to go to.
Yeah,
yeah.
So obviously he's going to put in. You know, I'm sure as I've seen in any establishment, if you are going to Pizza Planet. I know it's not directly referenced in the movie, oh, but you know there was beer in there.
Oh, yeah.
So what that
pizza
way,
place doesn't serve beer?
Well, yeah, you know there's that beer there because parents won't be able to put up with that place without some drinks. So Andy probably sees that going to Pizza Planet, knows that when he built this little restaurant out of his Woody's lunchbox, he's also going to include alcoholic
some
beverages
of mommy's go-go
in there.
Juice.
Where did he get his liquor license?
It's from the court of Andy's backyard, clearly. But, okay, so Woody's Lunchbox is a quick service location set up as a kiosk window, and it is all outdoors, just like everything else in Toy Story Land. It does include a seating area, and
I was happy to see they added some umbrellas. That weren't there when I was there. So they had the themed umbrella, two themed umbrellas. Yeah. That was it. But I saw from your photo they added a bunch more.
Yeah, it's progressing on that front. And so really, that is it in a kit and caboodle. Woody's Lunchbox is themed to like Woody's Roundup in terms of the look of the area / Baby Bell Cheese because they are the sponsor of it. And it serves mostly sandwiches. So if you are in the mood for a good sandwich, you're going to want to go to Woody's Lunchbox, or if you want some Baby Bell Cheese, go to the store. Go to Woody's Lunchbox.
I saw that giant Baby Bell Cheese that's next to it.
Yeah, you can sit in the little ones are the chairs at some of the tables.
If like they made Baby Bell Cheese that size, I would spend a couple $100 on
Charles, they've been missing out on this market since Honey, I Shrunk the Kids didn't make that giant, giant oatmeal cookie that they're, the little Debbie that they're playing around in. But
so I will now go into, they also have breakfast. We haven't tried that yet, soon. But in terms of describing it as categorizing as best or worst, I would say it's a right down the middle in that the food is best.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, some of the best food I've had in Hollywood Studios.
Oh, good. Okay.
However, the seating situation is awful.
I can attest to that as well. Because just looking at it with just the cast members, I couldn't believe that there were as little seating areas as there were table wise. But also, which I was talking about the umbrellas. When I was there, there were only two tables with umbrellas. There's no shade anywhere, and that's going to come into when we talk about whatever land in general. But I thought the construction of like the benches and the things to sit on, theming for just Andy's area, that lunchbox area, was cool.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve.
Just speaking to that theming in those chairs, I do wish though that there were, they kind of got it out because people on Twitter and social media will just take pictures of the cool themed Baby Bell cheese chairs. But most of the chairs are just primary colors folding chairs, essentially. That they're not very comfortable and they don't really go along with the immersive theming of the area.
They got lazy. Okay.
Yeah.
They're kind of flimsy, but that's, we'll see. Who knows? It could have been a thing where they just had to make do with what they had at the moment to put out because they were opening the land on June 30th, regardless of what was going to happen. So if that required getting creative at the last second, I think that's what they were going to do. The food, I've been able to try now the brisket melt. Mm-hmm. I've tried the Monte Cristo. I've had the raspberry lunchbox tart. I've had the tachos.
What about the s'mores?
That's at breakfast.
Okay.
So again, I have not yet had breakfast there.
Just breakfast?
Yep. Yep.
We should all go. Breakfast. S'mores the merrier.
Terrible.
You die.
You're
off the show.
The tachos are pretty good for tachos. Rhino can attest.
How I feel about tachos.
I know how you feel about it. You would actually be more probably, you would be middle ground. You don't like when tachos get soggy.
I like them nice and crispy.
These ones, unfortunately, they're like that. Some are crispier than others based on how overly long they were fried. So some were soggy, some were good. But the flavor, that's what I care about.
Yeah.
The flavor was excellent. Chili cheese plus a little sour cream and green onions and corn chips to add that crunch.
Mm.
Very good. Brisket melt. just delicious. The blend of the cheese and the barbecue sauce on the brisket and a perfectly toasted piece of sourdough just worked well. Monte Cristo, I enjoyed it. It's not like a Disneyland Monte Cristo where it's the ham, turkey, Swiss, deep fried, and then you dip it in raspberry jam. This is a brioche toasted and then served with ham. Yeah, barouche.
Barouche, I think is how Steve pronounces it.
Piece of bread.
Whatever. And,
served with ham, turkey, Swiss, and then also they put the raspberry jam right on there. It's not deep fried. So I still enjoyed it. It's not as good as like getting a Disneyland one.
Yeah.
Kylie hated it.
Really?
She took one bite, and the face she made shook the world for decades to come.
That's in the video, right, that you did, if people want to see more?
Yeah, and the raspberry lunchbox tart is Disney's newest craze that they came up with, their homemade Pop-Tarts. To a point, though, they're almost closer to like a toaster strudel because they're like a flaky puff pastry.
Okay.
And then topped with the toppings. They also have the chocolate hazelnut one. Didn't try that one because Kylie's allergic to nuts, but again, I enjoyed all of the food. The only one that was a miss for her was the Monte Cristo. We did not try the alcoholic beverages there. It was a lineup of beer like Blue Moon and stuff, and then the grown-up lemonade. I'm sorry, I don't like sweet drinks. I don't want lemonade with vodka plus extra syrup.
Well, especially
that's disgusting.
Yeah, especially in an area where there's no shade and you've been in the sun and you think that's going to be refreshing, but that is going to get you dehydrated real, real fast.
Yeah, it's like I love Disney, but their mixed drinks in most places just have no creativity. Yeah. It's like as soon as you go outside of Toy Story Land, the first drink cart you hit, it's like, oh, well, we have this one with pineapple juice and Midori sour that we serve every other single place on property. Oh, this one has blue curacao and pineapple juice that we serve everywhere on property. Like, stop overly sweetening
everything. I don't want anything that tickles the back of the throat, you know? Yeah. What do you think, Charles? Any questions about the food area?
Not particularly. Oh, okay. This isn't one of those, like, oh my God, how is it? Pretty much from everything you guys said. I mean, I wish they had done something a little more significant there.
Maybe someday.
I mean, I will, honestly, I'll stop in there and I'll end up eating there, but the attractions were the big draw that I was waiting for it to open. I wasn't, like, I can't wait for Woody's Lunchbox, really. Yeah. Like
the quick service at Hollywood Studios, this is the best. I don't care what anyone says. This is the absolute best.
Good.
The only thing I would say might be like close to it is like some of the stuff you can get over at Rosie's on Sunset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have some good things every now and then. The worst, besides going to the seating, is the entire structure of it. I think when Steve was there, he saw a cast member saying you can only sit down if you have food. Mm-hmm. Well, clearly, whoever the cast member was saying that got off duty and they didn't bother replacing them with anyone, because I would say 50% of the tables had one person sitting waiting for the people getting food in their party to sit down. So in terms of the worst, they need, please, for anyone out here watching, I know it sucks and you might have to wait longer for a table. Don't save a table like that. You're screwing over someone who already has food.
Who probably could have been done eating before you're out of the line.
Exactly. Yeah. And on top of that, it's, you know, if you abuse it like this, the next thing Disney's going to do is they're going to start putting up ropes around that area, break the theming even more, and really require them to go and sit you down. And then so that time when it might not be too busy and you just want a chair to sit down in for maybe 30 seconds, minute, 5 minutes, you're not going to be able to do that because everyone was breaking the rules up at the start of it. So keep that in mind.
Well, let's move on from there. And I want to talk about the merchandise next, because I will say this is, for me, worst. Steve?
Oh, wait, I was going to do it in your face. Shot. I was going to do thumbs down in your shot.
He held my hand instead.
But yes, definitely the worst.
Very bad. There's like two highlights to the merchandise, but overall worst.
There's no, like, they're just sold on kiosks. There's no, I don't know what I expected. I mean, you can tell from the concept art. Well, the original concept art, there was supposed to be an Al's Toy Barn, and that actually seemed like a really cool, fun-themed, like, okay, you're going to go in here, and you'll see, like, Buzz Lightyear's up everywhere. You know what I mean? You'll see it, and maybe you can get, like, you'll see somebody in a chicken suit or something like that. I don't know. You know, like, because he was in the chicken suit in the second movie. But I just... I feel like that's a major missed opportunity too, especially being like Toy Story is my favorite Pixar movie, one of my in my top three like Disney movies, and I feel like I was looking forward to maybe some sort of new type of Pixar merchandise, and still, you know, Toys R Us, God rest its soul, like it was still the best place to buy Toy Story toys, not at the Disney theme park mm-hmm. where I'm supposed to be in the epitome of Toy Story area, yeah. I guess. I don't know. What are your highlights, though? I'm curious about that.
Oh, my sorry. I was going to let Steve go first.
Did you want to say something before that?
Okay. Then I think that it's the most popular thing I saw with people walking around there, the Slinky Dog headbands. A huge success.
I don't know if I saw those yet.
No, they're just it's a brown headband, and then it's got Slinky Dog on it with the coils and everything on top. Cute. And people were loving them. They had an alien headband too that lit up at night.
Very popular,
and
yeah.
That was also very, very popular. So things like that were cool. And I love the fact that they had the Slinky Dog launch. A little toy for kids, as well as the alien swirling saucers toys for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not practical for the average person to buy them, but some people get enjoyment out of it. Where the worst comes in is the Disney basics. T-shirts, mugs, pens, things like that. The images on these are all so basic. And
yeah.
Almost if they said, like, we want to make sure that diehards will buy this, but also the average casual person who doesn't really care that much. So we want to just make it so non-offensive to the point that it's boring. Like, why couldn't they bring back to put in this land all like the shirts and hoodies and stuff where you could feel like you look like Buzz Lightyear or Woody?
Yeah, where are those?
Why not bring those back in? Bring back in the classic things if you're just going to go boring with the regular stuff.
Yeah, it does feel lazy when they just are slapping on the Toy Story characters and calling it good. I think they took advantage of the fact that they made grand opening merchandise for the first day. They might still be selling it, I don't know. But I think it's like people are going to buy that just because they're there, and they just figured...
And there's no longevity to the stuff that's there.
Right. Well, and it's just like, well, people are going to buy it because they want to say, ooh, look, I was there the first day or the first couple weeks or whatever, without really Disney having to put in any effort. I think Jackie Gailey just wrote an article today that her theory is that Disney did this so that people wouldn't spend a lot of time in the stores and that they would just get their stuff and go. But I don't know. I think Disney missed the opportunity to rake in money.
I was just going to say, I was like, I don't know that I buy that because, Disney says it's about the guest experience. However, the number one priority is how much money can Disney make off the guests.
Devil's advocate for that theory and everything. So they changed, they reopened, what's it, Beverly Sunsets or whatever?
Yeah.
Its name. They reopened it as that center for Toy Story and Pixar and the parks. And that's more than a kiosk, but it's outside of Toy Story Land.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where the sweet shop used to be with all the apples and everything.
Yeah.
Right on the corner, right where...
Yeah, on Sunset Boulevard. Yeah.
It's so it's the merchandise store for all things Pixar is the way that they're planning it. Just reopened. And they're going to have Toy Story Land stuff, any of the opening premiere stuff you can have there. And the thing is, if you can get Toy Story merch there, you leave the land and stop crowding up that actual land and buy land merch elsewhere in the park.
That seems lazy, though.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying that there can't be part of that element into it to where it costs more to build something else, but also as far as crowd control, getting people out of that land.
It's not crowded though. Mm-hmm. It was slammed the first day, but even by that night, it's not like it was like hurtling through people to get through.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room to walk around in there. It's not this complete cluster. The thing is, and this is my opinion on it, not having a big setup inside the land misses out on the impulse moment that I'm here, I'm excited right now.
I want it right this instant.
Yeah. And that's why they put freaking gift shops at the end of attractions to get on that moment. You might have that still by the time you walk out, but what about the person who doesn't know it's there? What about the person who says, you know what, but I'm going to go do this first.
I was there and I didn't know they were doing that.
I 100% agree with that, so when I went on a trip with my family during high school, my family we were doing it on a budget, and so we went to the outlet near here that has the Disney merchandise, and my mom was like, "Oh, do you want to get something here?" And I said, "No, I would rather pay more to get it on Main Street, even though I'm paying more. It's part of the fact that I got it from Main Street USA."
Yeah, my mom's big into that. My mom's experience, you know, and the older you get, sometimes is how you are. Like, my mom's not very old, but that's her experience. So she kind of likes to go and find that cool souvenir to bring people back stuff. And what's kind of ridiculous is, like, okay, so think about Tower of Terror and think about, like, the experience you have when you exit that attraction, when you're in that gift shop, you're in the Hollywood Hotel's gift shop, and, like, the amount of merch that's in there for just that one thing. Okay, Toy Story is a franchise that is built around a boy who received toys that were purchased at a toy store. Like, and then you don't have a toy store in your Toy Story, like, that's the part where, like, I get it. It's supposed to be Andy's backyard, and that's the theming, and you can argue that all day long. But still, it kind of baffles me a little bit that your movie that is literally about buying consumer products doesn't have consumer products to really sell anybody. And that will kind of shift us into the last thing I want to talk about, which is the overall theming of the land in general. How would we rate this in best or worst category? Craig.
No. 2 aspects to it, because okay. I know we're going to start tossing these words around together, and they're separate.
Yeah.
Theming / immersion. This is, in terms of the theming, okay, I would consider this best category.
Okay.
It is well themed. Immersion, like I said with Slinky Dog Coaster, immersion, worst. Yeah. It is not immersive.
Okay.
And I don't want to hear Disney tell me 10,000 times it's an immersive area. It could be for some. It could be for kids, and it probably is for kids. Yeah. However, an adult or kid walks into Pandora and feels completely transported to a different place. That's immersion. If you're excluding every single adult, teenager from feeling immersed in there, then it's immersion with an asterisk.
Agreed.
So, yeah. But I love the theming. Just don't feel the immersion.
Steve?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's you don't really feel like you are in Andy's backyard. I think the budget that they would have had to spend to make it truly feel that way, it would have been astronomical. So it's not the limitations of I don't think the Imagineers did a bad job. I just think it's the limitations of, like, what is realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, if this wanted to be as immersive as something like Pandora, you'd have to see, you know, the back of Woody's house and it be as tall as a skyscraper.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
and you'd have to have a fence that was,
The level of immersion needed is not practical for the area or the location of where the land is.
Yes, exactly. So it's like almost an impossible feat for the Imagineers to have accomplished. So it's not their fault at all, I don't think. I just think there are little things that could have been done better. I think I'm still going to put it in best. Because
what in best? The theming?
The theming.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I agree with the immersion.
Yeah, I think Craig really did just kind of pretty much, that's literally how it is. I mean, if it was fully immersive, I wouldn't be able to see into Star Wars the entire area. And I'm kind of blown away by, I guess there's no, I think they could have thought of a way to block that view, but they're really like, just have a peek. Like, and that area is going to be mind-blowingly immersive. You know what I mean? Like, there is no question about it in my mind after seeing what you can see from that ride. But I will say the theming is on point. So you come in and the railings are all made out of connector.
Connects,
yeah. And then we talked about the lunchbox area. And then the queue for Slinky Dog is all the boxes of, like, board games and Slinky Dog's actual box and things like that. And I really, really appreciate that sort of level. And I like that Andy's, like, drawn in crayon everywhere. And on the pavement, you know, is a big thing for me, is that it has his footprints. So he's been walking around. And I don't remember if I said this in this show or whatever, but Craig did point out, like, okay, so they're really pushing the idea that you are one of the toys and you're in Andy's backyard. Mm-hmm. Why is there, like, Supreme Leader Buzz Lightyear, giant, massive guy, and then a giant, massive Woody? But, like, it's one of those things where I guess maybe we're down to the size of the green alien because they're about our height when you get in the cart, maybe a little shorter.
But when they currently moved it outside the land, they're going to move it back in. The problem is then eventually you're going to be able to meet Buzz, Jesse, and Woody inside.
And they're like micro versions of themselves. Yeah. Yeah. It is an interesting like conundrum. I do appreciate the attention to detail with some of the theming. However, so I'm going to give it, you know, that immersion. The same as Craig said, I do have some worse things I do want to point out about the land still, though, really quick. There is not a lick of shade anywhere. Like, and like I said, they talked about adding the, they did add some of the umbrellas in the seating area. Not everyone can get on Slinky Dog Dash. I was with a baby that I said couldn't get on. There's no shaded area to wait in. There's no shaded area anywhere unless I want to take the child into the restroom and just stand awkwardly in there for a while, which I don't want to do with somebody else's kid. I wouldn't want to do that with my own kid anyways. But like, it just, I cannot believe that in Orlando, Florida, nobody was like, you know what would be great? Also, we're in this kid's backyard. Maybe there should be a treetop or something like that. So my hope is when Pixar, when Bugs Land in Disney California Adventure gets demolished, they're going to take those leaves that they have everywhere that are like the shades, and they bring them on over to Toy Story, and Andy is stuck in these umbrellas. Or like, if there's an adult beverage that he's making, why aren't his mom's like umbrellas from we know she's drinking Mai Tais and Dark and Stormy? He's like, where are those umbrellas in the ground around the land?
Well, that's kind of what it looks like they used for the umbrellas for the tables inside. Okay. It looks kind of like cocktail umbrellas.
I would love if they had put those over some of the benches. The benches, by the way, which are supposed to be dominoes, some of them are, and the domino that's the top part of the bench is black. So if you sit on that, be gentle. You know, be careful. Test it.
Popsicle sticks instead. Yeah. Those are more comfy.
Yeah. So I will say, like, attention to detail, I do actually think that's, like, best. However, you can clearly tell somebody who is not from Orlando, Florida, and is not based here was the one who made a lot of these creative decisions. So I don't know. Anything else to add before we wrap?
I think that'll do, Pig.
That'll do. All your questions answered, Charles?
Not nearly. Oh. But probably all the ones people want to hear think are relevant.
I'm just curious your excitement level to go and actually experience this.
After this, probably still substantial. The attractions are the main thing. Mm-hmm. The one thing, and I got the impression long before it opened with this, is from what I saw with Pandora, right, in the lead-ups, you know, we had, like, a video from Joe Rohde every 2 weeks or something like that, and they talk about how, like, oh, well, you know, you've got, like, we went to Africa and studied wicker basket weaving and stuff like that, all these little details, and for Star Wars, we have these panels. And I didn't feel that I got the same from Toy Story, so the lack of immersion doesn't really surprise me, or things not making sense. Why are things one size or another? Because I honestly think they thought, that was a good idea, that was a fun idea. And so when I go in, I can't treat it like what's the story behind this, like I would with Pandora, where those details matter to me. It's basically, this is themed, but it's not a storyline. Well, I'm not living the story of
Disney
the toy.
Disney did this to themselves because they're so excellent at storytelling. So it is kind of like,
they set
it's
their
a
own
catch
bar
22.
Too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, well, thank you. Thank you guys for having this discussion. Thank everybody for listening and watching. If you want to see more videos like this, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/disunplugged. You can hit that little subscription button, hit the little bell if you want to see when we post more stuff. We also have another YouTube channel that you might enjoy as well, where there's a lot of ride-throughs and stuff like that. And that is our Diz YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/WDWinfo. If you want to suggest some topics for the best and worst show, I would love to hear those. Please send those emails into podcast@disunplugged.com, or even better, tweet at us at the Diz. That's THEDIS on Twitter, and somebody will hopefully respond and screenshot those. So I am terrible with that.
The Diz YouTube is WDW info, right?
What did I say?
WW.
Oh, I don't know the WWs. Yeah, he's right. WDW info, Walt Disney World info. Like, think about it like that. And like I said, if you're listening on iTunes, please feel free to rate and subscribe. You know, all the things, whatever, all the things we normally say. I'm done talking. This was a long episode. Thanks again. We will see you next time with another episode of the best and worst of Walt Disney World.